Welcome to Inspiration and Transformation from the Banks of the Ganga with Sadhvi Bhagwati Saraswati, an American sannyasi living at the Parmarth Nikatan Ashram in Rishikesh, India. Sadhvi is president of the Divine Shakti Foundation, a charitable organization bringing education, vocational training, upliftment, and empowerment programs to women and children. Sadhvi is also Secretary General of the Global Interfaith WASH Alliance and Director of the world-famous International Yoga Festival. Join the musings of an American sannyasi as Sadhvi shares the wisdom and teachings of her guru, His Holiness Pujya Swami Chidanand Saraswatiji.
Welcome, everyone, to Inspiration and Transformation from the Holy Banks of the sacred Ganga River in the land of Rishikesh, India.
Issue of menstruation in the Hindu tradition is a very old and a very complex one. And there's a lot of different threads that weave together. According to tradition, no, it isn't okay. It's okay to pray. God doesn't mind. Talk to God anytime. Pray anytime. Love God anytime. Sing to God anytime. But there's very specific rules, specific niyams, as we say, with regard to temples, religious practices, and our menstruation. And traditionally the rule is no. Now, there's a lot of theories about why that is. The most common, but I think the one that actually isn't real, is this idea that somehow women are dirty at that time. Now, what we know is it isn't dirty. What we know is that it's an extraordinarily divine process. The reason that we menstruate is because the power of the divine creator is within us. So there's nothing dirty or impure or sinful. Certainly nothing more dirty than when you go to the toilet. After you go to the toilet, you wash your hands with soap and water. You would never enter a temple after having gone to the toilet without washing your hands. You would never enter the temple without taking a bath in the morning. So in the same way that we bathe and we cleanse before we go to temple anyway, well, of course you would do that anyway. So in my personal opinion, it's not actually having to do with dirtiness. What I've heard from several very renowned, very enlightened saints is that this was actually the way of the rishis and the sages and the saints giving these women a break. That in traditional culture, where women 24 hours a day, 365 days a year are the ones working in the house, working in the fields, never a break. That the rishis and the sages gave a tradition of saying, for these 4 days, she's not to be in your bed, she's not to be in your kitchen, she's not to cook your meals, she's just to rest, was actually the way of the rishis and the saints and the sages giving these women a break. But in order to do that, they spoke about, oh, she shouldn't be in your kitchen. She shouldn't be in your bed. She shouldn't be preparing your food. But what I've heard from these saints is that most likely the reason really had to do with just giving these women a break. And especially today, because of course there was a time in history where we didn't have proper menstrual products and where women, as they moved through the world, literally were bleeding. So literally there was dirt and impurity and bacteria flowing out of them. But we know, certainly today, that that's not the case. There's every way to keep ourselves absolutely clean, pure, immaculate. So it's not about that. But it's about that time that was given by the sages and the saints to rest. However, as I said, this is what I have heard from several of the divine and enlightened masters, and it makes sense to me. This isn't a culture I grew up in, so it wasn't something that I learned about this from my parents. It was something I walked into as a 25-year-old and learned about it when I came. And for me, my feeling has always been, you know, just because I don't understand something doesn't necessarily mean that it's wrong. Because here's another really important piece. The enlightened saints can actually tell energetically when a woman is menstruating. In fact, there's a great story of Puja Swamiji's guru coming to his house one day when he was still a very young boy before he left his home with the guru. And the guru was coming to the house for lunch. Puja Swamiji's father had invited him, please, please come home for lunch. The guru had agreed. They were walking from the temple back to the house. And as they got to the doorstep of the house, the guru turned to Puja Swamiji's father and he said, are you sure I'm supposed to have lunch here today? And of course, Puja Swamiji's father was like, yeah, yeah, definitely. I mean, he just wanted to feed the saints. He was so full of love and devotion and bhav. And Puja Swamiji's guru said, you're sure? The father said, yes, yes, of course I'm sure. Please, Swamiji, come inside. And the guru said, do one thing. Go in the house and ask your wife if I'm really supposed to have lunch here today. And so his father went in and asked his wife. And the wife said, he's right, I'm menstruating. So the point being that there is an energy. And it was something that I knew from about Puja Swamiji from the beginning. I mean, he would know. Because of course there are rules about, like, if I were going to give him, say, a paper or a pen. If you're menstruating, you can't actually do that. You have to just put it down and then he would pick it up. Normally you would say, here is a piece of paper. But if you're menstruating, the rule is you don't actually do that. You have to just put it down and then he would take it. And there were times when, before I even went to hand him something, he would signal on the table. So I share this because what it means is there is an energy, not an energy that's dirty or impure or bad or anything like that, but just an energy that is different. Interestingly, in the Native American tradition, in the indigenous tradition, it's considered a time of the woman's highest power. And in fact, she stays separate from the family in this very special, like, hut to connect with Mother Nature, with Mother Earth, with the moon. That's why it's called the moon cycle. To connect with that power of creation within herself. So it's important to realize that just because we may not think that it's dirty or impure or bad or anything like that, doesn't mean that it's necessarily the same as all the other days of the month. And it is a time of a different energy, a time of a different power. And so what I would suggest on a personal level, here's how I take care of it. Whether you understand the rule or not, for me, I felt like Indian culture has embraced me. It has absolutely embraced me in the most beautiful way. And so I will respect, follow whatever the rules are, whatever the traditions are, whether I understand them or not. In the same way the culture has embraced me, I will embrace the culture. However, when it comes to just between me and God, so while menstruating, don't go to temple. You don't touch the arati. You don't touch any puja things. But if it's just between you and God, well, God doesn't care. So by all means, pray to God. If it's a temple in your home, you make the rules. If you want to sit there, sit. If it's your home, your temple, do what feels right. But when it's an outside temple, when it's not ours, when it's not about what we want, what we think, whether we agree or we disagree, then just out of basic courtesy, basic respect for others, respect for people's beliefs, worship at home those days. God is everywhere. Sit at the temple in your house. Worship God in the temple in your heart. Worship God in the tree in your backyard. Worship God in the sunset. Worship God anywhere and everywhere. Consider those days, not a day that you can't go to temple, but consider those days the days that the world becomes your temple. The trees, the birds, the air, the grass. Consider those days an opportunity to see God in all of the other places that we normally miss Him.
You're listening to OTRFM, part of the IOM Radio Network.
Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. OM Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single...
Circle of Hearts Radio is a sanctuary on the airwaves. Join me, Grandmother Alaya, in the circle on Sunday, 2 p.m. Eastern, as I share information to both enlighten and nourish your soul.
Hi, this is Christina Ricci with RAIN. Every 2 minutes, another American is sexually assaulted. If you or someone you know has been sexually assaulted, you are not alone. Help is just a call or click away through the National Sexual Assault Hotline. Please call 1-800-656-HOPE, that's H-O-P-E, or visit rain.org, that's RAINN.ORG.
Brought to you by RAIN and this station.
Welcome back to Inspiration and Transformation. I'm so glad to have you all back here with me. Everybody goes through a hard time. This may be that time for you. First of all, don't make the situation worse by saying, and I'm a failure, and I can't do spirituality, and there's something wrong with me, and she says don't be stressed, but I am stressed, and she says don't be broken, but I am broken. Don't compound it. Just simply acknowledge what is right now. There is brokenness. Okay. Right now, there is loneliness. Okay. Can you be present and exist in that brokenness? In the universe, we have wet seasons and dry seasons and hot seasons and cold seasons and seasons where trees give fruit and seasons where they don't and seasons where flowers flower and blossom and seasons where they don't. and seasons where our fields give us crops and seasons when they don't. And in your life, this may be a season of sadness, maybe a season of being alone. The first piece is, don't try to fight it away. Don't condemn yourself or berate yourself. Just be present with it. Recognize, even in the face of brokenness, there I am. I'm broken and still here. I'm alone and still here. And recognize that power within yourself to still be here in the face of whatever it is that's going on. That's a great power. It makes you know you are not the brokenness. You are not the pain. You are not the loneliness, because that's happening. And you're still here. So learn to distinguish between that which is happening and you, who is still here amidst the happening. And then look at what it is that is broken and what it is it may be forming. In order to create, we need to break down. In the Hindu tradition, we speak about a trinity of the powers of God, and we talk about Brahma as the creator and Vishnu as the sustainer and Shiva as the destroyer or dissolver, but it's not linear, it's cyclical. And Shiva's not the bad one who destroys. No, Shiva's the divine one who removes from us that which is blocking the new creation. And so if you're broken, ask yourself, okay, what new creation is it that's trying to come from within me? It's like, I don't know how old you are, but when I was a kid, we had these things that we would play on. They were like writing tablets, but there was a slip of plastic on top, and it was kind of like a chalkboard with a slip of plastic, and you'd write, and then you'd pick up the sheet of plastic, and suddenly all the writing had disappeared and you could use it again. I forget what they were called, but it was fun because you would do a drawing and then in a second you would just lift up the plastic and suddenly it all had disappeared and you could start over. When things break, they break in order to give us the pieces out of which to build something. When a sand castle gets swept away by the sea, the castle is gone, but the sand is still there, ready for something else to be built out of it. And so ask yourself, okay, the old system, it has broken down. That which was familiar, it has broken down. But where is going to be my broken down to break through? Because a lot of times the universe breaks things for us to be able to break through. What was it that needed to be broken through in you, such that now a new creation can come? So instead of getting wrapped up in the drama of, oh, I am the broken one, ask yourself, okay, so what is it? As I spend a few moments of time in this space between the presence of Shiva and the presence of Brahma, between the presence of that which destroys and the presence of that which creates, what is it that needed to be broken down in order to be recreated? And don't ask it to yourself with any kind of stress. It doesn't matter if you know the answer. Don't worry, God knows the answer. But it's a beautiful place to just sit in and wonder. Ah, okay. So out of that which has been broken down, what now is going to break through? If the shell of a seed didn't break, that seed would never sprout. If an egg never cracked, a bird would never come out. And if that which we are used to and attached to didn't break, we would never burst through. So allow yourself to just be in this state of in between the breaking down to the breaking through. And yeah, it feels lonely sometimes, but that's okay. Because ultimately the teaching of loneliness is to realize it's not about how many people I surround myself with. It's about how much of my own best friend I can be. Because no matter how many people I have around me who love me, ultimately at the end of the day, even if there's someone in my bed with me, even if there are several people in my bed with me, I'm still alone. And so the only real answer to loneliness isn't about filling ourselves with people. It's about finding that place of the best friend within you, the you who is the best friend to someone else. Can you be that for yourself? Can you allow yourself to bask in the joy of you? Because you are there. You're not alone. You're there. But we're so used to negating ourselves that we feel like unless there are people, I don't exist. I'm lonely. I'm falling apart. Other people's presence is the glue that holds us together. And right now, this lockdown is an extraordinary teaching. And yeah, it's going to feel great when we can hug again. It's going to feel great when we can dance in the streets again. And in the meantime, we have this extraordinary opportunity to realize that we aren't alone. And that's going to stay with us. And it's going to be able to keep you, even at other stages of your life when you are surrounded by people, from feeling lonely, even having people around. So let it in. It's okay. Let loneliness be that which is cracking the shell of you. And let yourself burst forth.
This is OTRFM, part of the IOM Radio Network.
OM Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. OM Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Do you have time to read that inspiring book or that blog post you've been meaning to get to? In your busy world, how do you improve yourself and keep your life going? I'm Lisa Kay, and my Between Heaven and Earth radio show can transform your life just by listening. Be uplifted with inspiring topics, positive stories, and ideas that really work. Between Heaven and Earth radio is conscious living for your soul every Wednesday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time.
Baldwin with People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. I grew up loving circuses and other traveling animal shows, but it never occurred to me what life might be like for the animals. Training wild animals to do things they don't understand takes force. Routine discipline with a hook or whip with the heel of a boot shows the animal exactly who's the boss. Don't patronize animal acts. Please contact People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals.
757-622-PETA.
Welcome back. This is Sadhvi Bhagavati Saraswati with inspiration and transformation.
Please tell me why everyone is becoming attracted to India and the Hindu culture. So, this is not a new phenomenon. We've got so many beautiful leaders, beautiful teachers, those still in their bodies, those who have passed on, who came to India decades and decades ago. So many came in the late 60s, early 70s, from America, from Europe, mostly from America, a lot in those days. So this is not a new thing. So many of the spiritual teachers in America today, the American teachers in India, I mean from American teachers in America, but teaching Eastern traditions, came here in the late 60s, early 70s. Their disciples teaching now. So it's not new, but we've definitely seen an increase, even just in the 25 years that I've been blessed to be here. A big increase. Every year, so many more and more people from all over the world, every country of the world are coming here. And even those who aren't able to physically make the trip, so many are tuning in to online programs and devotional chanting kirtan, studying, joining us in satsang. Why is that? I think it has to do with the basic common sense of the human mind that says, I've looked where I was told to look for something, didn't find it. Therefore, let me look somewhere else. And in the West, we're told from the time we're very young, most of us, that if we want happiness in life, and we want joy in life, and we want peace in life, and we want real success in life, meaning in life, that we should make a lot of money, have a good education, get a nice job, buy nice clothes, build a nice house. And so people do that. But as they do that, they realize, hey, wait, I now have a really big house. I now have really nice cars. I've got a good job, making a lot of money. But I'm not actually happy. Why is that? And they look, and they keep looking in the same place, because that's where we're told to look. Sometimes people say, the problem is you've got last year's model car. Problem is you don't yet have the highest position. So we're keeping always being told more, more, more. Better, better, better. Higher, higher, higher. But at some point, many people have an awakening, an awareness, an epiphany that says, maybe I'm looking in the wrong place. Maybe it's not about more of the same, but actually maybe it's something different. And yet, sadly, in a lot of the Western cultures, there isn't a place to go for those teachings of what's different. There's not so much of a culture that says, look within. It's a culture that says, look where the light is. Look here, it's bright. Look in the shopping centers. Look in the store windows. Buy more. Have more. Acquire more. Earn more. And it's a culture that keeps telling us that. But when we've done that, a lot of people say, it's not there. Where else do I look? And so India being a land, sacred land, a mystical land. And again, this is not a recent phenomenon. This is going back. India's been this way for thousands and thousands of years, and I think the West has known about it for a long time. It's lots of beautiful literature you can go back to from hundreds of years ago. Of people learning from the land of the yogis, learning from the land of the mystics, the land of the sages, to find those answers. And so it's not a surprise that now, as means of transportation have increased, of means of access to information have increased, as our availability to teachings have increased, that more and more people are looking and are turning toward this culture, turning toward these teachings. Because look, you can only keep looking in the wrong place for something for so long before you finally realize it's not here. And so India and the teachings of this beautiful culture stand as this model of a place where we may not have all of the latest gadgets or all of the luxury or all of the ease or all of the convenience. But there's a secret here. I remember when I first came to India, it touched me so deeply to look around and to see the people who were living so far below Western standards of poverty, but who were so happy, so fulfilled, so in peace, so much more in peace, in fact, so much happier, in fact, than people I knew in America who had it all. And it made me realize from the very beginning that there is a secret here. I had to come here to realize that. But there's a lot of people who, even sitting from their homes in so many different cities around the world, are tuning in, whether it's through books, whether it's now through the internet online, whatever it is, but tuning in, or even in their own cities. These days, in so many cities of the world, you can study Indian philosophy, study Vedic teachings, study the Bhagavad Gita. People are realizing that happiness, that joy, that meaning I'm looking for in life is not going to come from just having more and more and more, because we've done that. Been there, seen that, done that. Doesn't have what we want. How many lifetimes do we have to keep coming back, doing the same thing over and over again with the same result of nothing, until we finally realize it's not there? And this is where so many people then are turning here to find that real answer. So whether it's arriving to come here on the banks of Ganga at Paramarth Nikathan to immerse themselves here, whether it's tuning in from all over the world, whether it's taking classes in the Bhagavad Gita, the Upanishads, the Vedas, whether it's learning yoga, but diving in a deep way, that's not just the asanas. Yeah, we're seeing it because it works. Because those who do it then experience that happiness, that joy, that meaning. And they tell people. And people around them realize, She's a lot happier when she comes out of meditation class than she is when she used to come back from the shopping center. This must be working. There's a light. There's a peace. There's a joy. It's permeating her. After she meditates, after she's studying the scriptures, after she joins satsang, that's much more than we used to feel with her when we all would just go to the parties or go to the bars. And so we keep doing that which works. And we tell people, and people see it. So slowly more and more people are turning to this. The tragedy is the number of Indians who are turning away from it. The number of Indians who are turning toward the West, consciously allowing themselves to be deluded into making the same mistake that so many people in the West make. Following in the footsteps of mistakes that Western culture has made by making material possessions primary, by making financial success primary, by making our whole model in life about the material world, about having more money, having more possessions, having more name, having more fame, climbing that social ladder. That's the tragedy. As more and more people from the West are realizing that in those teachings, in that culture, isn't happiness, more and more Indians are forsaking their own culture in favor of this delusion of happiness through possessions, of success through your rung on a career ladder, or which office you have, or success through the size of your house, or the number of your cars, or how much the neighbors want to be like you. And that makes me very sad, because people from the West can't be blamed for not turning to this culture if they don't know about it, like I didn't know about it. It was God's grace that I came here because I liked vegetarian food. And that grace showed me. But for Indians, you have this in your blood, in your genes. For Indians to be turning away from this culture is the greatest tragedy. It's the greatest tragedy for you, for your children, for this nation, and for the future of the planet. Because actually the keys of this culture are the keys that our world needs to move into a sustainable, one, united, unified, together, global family, global nation. And so if the Indians themselves are turning away from it, who's going to show the light to the world? So this is what's needed. The Westerners are coming. They've been coming for a long time. They're going to keep coming. But the Indians need to stay. The Indians need to appreciate deeply the core of these teachings, the core of the culture. Your sanskaras, your heritage, your roots. That's up to you.
This is OTRFM, part of the IOM radio network.
OM Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. OM Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Do you have time to read that inspiring book or that blog post you've been meaning to get to? In your busy world, how do you improve yourself and keep your life going? I'm Lisa Kay, and my Between Heaven and Earth radio show can transform your life just by listening. Be uplifted with inspiring topics, positive stories, and ideas that really work. Between Heaven and Earth Radio is conscious living for your soul, every Wednesday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time.
Like Baldwin, with People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. I grew up loving circuses and other traveling animal shows, but it never occurred to me what life might be like for the animals. Training wild animals to do things they don't understand takes force. Routine discipline with a hook or whip with the heel of a boot shows the animal exactly who's the boss. Don't patronize animal acts. Please contact People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals.
757-622-PETA.
Welcome back. This is Sadhvi Bhagavati Saraswati with Inspiration and Transformation.
In many cases, insight itself can be the answer. In many cases, simply seeing the truth is enough. It's like my favorite scene at the end of The Wizard of Oz, where Toto pulls back the curtain, Toto the dog, pulls back the curtain behind which the wizard has been sitting. And everybody thought the wizard was this big, amazing, all-powerful being. But actually the wizard was just a little man with a big projector. And simply pulling back the curtain and beholding this little man with his projector was actually enough to immediately deflate, to dissipate, to dissolve his reign of power and terror. In a lot of cases, simply looking and seeing is enough. It's like the child crying because of the monster in their closet, and then the mom comes in and turns on the light, and lo and behold, it's not a monster, it's a jacket on a hanger. Now, when the mom turns the light out again, the child is no longer afraid. The jacket is still there on the hanger. But the fear is no longer there because the child knows, oh, it's not a monster. I just saw it. It's my jacket on a hanger. Or the snake in the rope. Yeah, it looks like a snake until you turn the light on, then you realize it's a rope. Now the light goes off again. And I'm not afraid now, thinking again it's gone back to being a snake. Once we see, in many cases, just seeing, oh yeah, that's why. And allow yourself to laugh about it. You know, there's an element of lightness with which we really need to take our own emotional dramas. And I don't mean that to discredit or belittle what we've been through. We've all been through a lot. I've been through a lot. But it's not as dark as it seems in our mind when we don't look at it. It's just, it's there, it's a piece, it's something that happened. It's just a piece, a moment in time. Few moments in time. And yeah, it left an impression. But there's an intensity with which most of us look at our issues, our story, our drama, our neuroses, as though somehow that was what my purpose here on earth was to just relive and relive and relive and swim in the whirlpool of that which happened in the first 5 or 7 or 12 years of my life. And yeah, there is pain, there's sadness, Absolutely. But again, it's just an aspect, a moment, an impression. Allow yourself to have a little bit of lightness. Not denial, not repression, not suppression, not laughing because I'm nervous, none of that. But just a bit of lightness that takes ourselves with a bit of a grain of salt. And I say this from personal experience. There's two ways to look at your stuff when you see it. When it becomes obvious as you're meditating, as you're introspecting, as you're contemplating, maybe as you enter therapy, as you do any of these things that brings us face to face with our own sanskaras, why we are the way we are, why we have the issues we have, there's a tendency to take them very seriously. Oh my God, this happened. Oh my God, I was afraid of that. Oh my God, I was so hurt because of this. And I offer you, again, from personal experience, I offer you the possibility that we can take ourselves with a bit of lightness, a bit of, how interesting. Yeah. Wow. Didn't realize that one thing. Mom said, Dad said, my cousin said, my uncle said, my teacher said, my sister said. Imagine 20, 30, 50 years later. Imagine. That's why I get so angry. Wow. How interesting. Wow. That thing Mom did or Dad did, my cousin did, my uncle did, my sister did, my brother did, my teacher did. That thing, that's why I get so angry now. That's why I don't trust now. That's why I can't open up and step up to the plate of my life. Wow, how amazing. How amazing the psyche is. That even though that person is dead and buried or dead and cremated, I'm carrying it around. Amazing. That simple amazing, or wow, how interesting, rather than, oh my God, poor me. That's the lightness. That's the lightness I mean. Instead of jumping back into that ocean, allow yourself to just watch it like you were watching it from a cliff. Watch the ocean. Wow, how interesting. Amazing. And look at that. Mom was just doing the best she could. Yeah, she had her issues. Dad was just doing the best he could. Yeah, he was full of his issues. Everyone doing the best they could. With the sometimes very empty toolboxes they had. And look at how 20, 30, 50 years later, how I'm carrying around their lack of a full toolbox. How interesting. Because that lightness allows us to let go of it, to realize it isn't me. I have carried it, but I can also stop carrying it. So in many, many cases, simply seeing it is actually enough to dissipate it. In the cases where it's not, because of course there's also many cases where that which we see really is deep trauma. Real deep trauma. The stuff that maybe insight isn't enough. Well, there's a whole host of ways of working with trauma, working with sanskaras and impressions that feel too deep for the tools that I have in my toolbox. And for that, we've got so many ways, so many modalities. Through spiritual traditions, through traditions of psychology, through traditions that merge and marry spirituality and psychology. There's so many ways to address them. But what's most important is recognize that you aren't them. Stop the narrative that says, I am this, or I am that. No, you're not. Sure, you may have experienced that. You may have a pattern of electrical and chemical behavior in your brain that we call this. But it isn't you. You're not that which has happened to you. You're not the neurotic way that you've developed to deal with that which has happened to you. You're divine. You're full. You're whole. You are the consciousness that's conscious of that you've just seen in your meditation. So allow yourself to just watch it. When it comes up, notice it. But don't jump on board. It's a ship. Ship passing by your consciousness, telling you, hey, jump on board. But you've been doing that your whole life. You've been acting and reacting based on those sanskaras, based on those patterns, based on that history, your whole life. Let the ship sail. Stay just grounded in the awareness. Grounded in the mindfulness, grounded in the consciousness. Oh yeah. Fear is arising. But I'm not the fear. I don't have to rise with the fear. I can just notice it. Allow yourself just to notice. And slowly, 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 it'll lose its hold on you. Doesn't mean it's going to go away. Doesn't mean that you won't be the person to whom these things happened. But it's going to lose its hold on you. It's going to lose its ability to dictate how you feel, how you react, how you live. And you're going to recognize that it isn't you. You'll be able to notice it with lightness. Oh, isn't that interesting? Haven't seen you in years. Thought we were done. Wow, there you are again. Okay, I guess there's another layer. Let's look at it. So just interact with it like that. See it lightly. And let it pass.
This brings to a close this hour of inspiration and transformation. Thank you so much for joining me. I'm so glad to be together with you all each week. And I look forward to being together again next Thursday, same time, on Om Times Radio.